because you want to give them. And we come to honor you with all that you give us. And now, God, we pray that you would guide what I'm about to preach, that in my attempts to serve you, you would make my attempts fruitful. Because if you don't lead me, this probably won't come out too well. But that's okay, because we're supposed to need you. Because you said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're here to seek you, to serve you, to receive from you, and to let you take what we offer and make it into something beautiful. We thank you for this opportunity, and again, we ask you to fill us, surround us, as we open up our hearts to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying about what I should preach on today, I felt like teaching on something that a lot of it might be similar to what I said on Saturday a few months ago when I came down. And usually I don't repeat myself very much because I figure there's so many things to teach on. But I still felt like this is what I should teach on, even though probably about half of it might be review for those who were there on Saturday a few months ago. I want to talk more about the words of God, what they do, why we need them. In what ways do we live by the words that God speaks into our heart? Jesus quoted the Old Testament, but I'll read Jesus' quote rather than the Old Testament, how when it originally came up. This is when Satan tried to tempt Jesus, and Jesus said, Jesus answered, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live by God's words. I want to talk about what does it really mean to live by God's words? What do God's words do? God's words are not just information. Information is important. It's important that you know that Jesus died for your sins. Information matters, but words are not only information. Particularly God's words are not only information. And I want to talk about what God's words are and how we live by them. In the New Testament, there are actually three words that we translate word. There's a Greek word for logos. That could actually refer to Jesus himself. Logos is one of the more complicated words I may not fully define today. But an example of logos would be the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the logos. The logos was with God. The logos was God. So that can actually refer to Jesus himself. Another word is graphe. It refers to written word in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All graphe is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that would be the Bible. The Bible is the graphe word of God. It's where we get our doctrine. It's the best place to get our doctrine because even though it's so important to listen to God speak to your heart, sometimes we do fool ourselves in thinking we're hearing when we're not. So we want to, everything you think you hear from God, you want to run it by his written word. Because if you read something in his written word, it probably actually says that. But there have been times when we've thought he said something into our hearts and we have mistaken ourselves. So I'm going to actually talk mostly about God's spoken word to us, how it's so important. But I do want to say, everything you think he spoke to you, run it by this. So the third word for word, the third Greek word for word in the New Testament is rhema. And that's really what I want to talk about today is rhema. So scripture for rhema, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the rhema of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So God's words have the power to create. The whole universe was made by the rhema word of God. Hebrews 14, verse 12. For the rhema of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is powerful. God's word is alive. And that's one of the things that's so important about God's word. See, if I speak to you, my word can tell you information. But the goal, whenever I preach, or the hope, is that if I speak what God is leading me to speak, the hope is God will speak right next to me, or God will speak through me, so that it won't just be me speaking, but God speaking too. And the reason that matters is, you know, if God gives me a message, I might be able to speak the information God gave me, but God's words are alive. I can convey information, but God can actually do something supernatural. God can fill you with passion, with life. God can cause what has died in you to rise back up. That's what we call an anointed message when God speaks to. A not anointed message is I speak and it's only me speaking. An anointed message is I speak and God speaks to. An anointed message is you speak to your friend because God gave you a word for them, and when you speak, God actually speaks as well. That's probably the best way I would describe anointing. It's when both of you speak together and his word's alive. So it says God's rhema is sharp like a two-edged sword. In Revelation, when there's this picture of Jesus, it mentions that his mouth was a two-edged sword. It also mentions that Jesus fights with the sword of his mouth. And this could be Jesus fighting against the enemy, if there's spiritual attack, if there's just things against you that aren't his will. But sometimes we need his sword for ourselves too. I mean, ever had a resentment against someone that you just can't seem to let go of? Sometimes his word comes to us like a sword. Cut something off that shouldn't be there. You know, Jesus said that he prunes us. We are to abide in him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And he prunes us. That's in John chapter 15. I actually made a small mistake yesterday in my teaching for those who were there. I said that the Greek word for prune in John chapter 15 was the same Greek word as for clean, right after when he says, "You've been cleaned by my word." I actually looked again, it was a different word, so I made a small mistake yesterday. But God does prune us, and it makes sense because his word is a sharp two-edged sword. He does fight with the word of his mouth to protect us, to guard us, and also he prunes us with the word of his mouth because his tongue is a sword. And we need that. You know, all of us struggle with failing to let go of things that we know we should let go of. And we try our best, but we fail anyway. You know, sometimes our best isn't good enough because it's not meant to be good enough. Because we're actually meant to need him. Now, on the one hand, we live by grace. So even when we fail, by grace we're made clean. And it's important to know that we have grace. But the other thing is that with God's help, we can do better than we can on our own. So I don't want to just only rely on grace for my mistakes. I actually want God's help to do better than I could on my own. And his rhema is an important part of that. When you try to forgive someone, and then the next day you remember it again, and you're mad all over again, and you realize that I haven't really offered that forgiveness. I tried, but I failed. And then his rhema comes, like a sword. Cuts off that resentment, and you realize you can really forgive. It's when you have fear that you can't seem to trust God, and there's this fear. Something just needs to go. You know, usually when we have a fear, it's at least in many cases because we also have some kind of idolatry. Like there are times when I just would really like human praise more than I should. But you know what comes with that is fear. Because what happens if you really like human praise and then you make a mistake and you fear that people might think bad of you now? See, if you like human praise, you're going to fear what people might think of you. If you make a mistake or just the fear the possibility of being misunderstood, with idolatry comes fear. And there have been times in my life where I see that idolatry and I feel the fear and I know that this should go, this idolatry should go, but not always able to let go of it. That's why God prunes us with that sharp sword that is his word. There's a story I did mention last time, but just such a powerful story to me. Just a testimony I heard years ago by someone who was giving us some teaching on prophecy. And he just told a story of an earlier time in his marriage before I had known him and his wife. He said there had been a time when him and his wife, he said they were at war. That's how he described it. They were fighting so much. Just we get so mad, so angry at each other. They said they were at war is what had happened. And they were Christians. They loved God. And I think they were trying to be good people, but resentments can build up if you've hurt each other. And then when you feel resentment and you get angry, then you do something to hurt the other person, and they feel resentment and anger. It got bad. Even though they loved Jesus, it got bad. And one day it got so bad that they had scheduled a vacation in Hawaii. I think the plane ticket, the hotels were non-refundable. And it got so bad they realized, I'm not really looking forward to spending these 10 days with you in a hotel room. What do we do? We can't get the money refunded. So he said to his wife, why don't you go? And I'm going to fast and pray for 10 days. That's why you have to fast and pray for 10 days. No, fasting can be powerful. Not everyone practices that, but it is biblical. And it is a way of seeking God. And during his fasting and praying, he had a moment when God spoke to him and God said, love your wife. But he said that this time when God said, love your wife, with the word love your wife came the power to do it. See, up to that moment, he knew he was supposed to love his wife. He had the information, but he lacked the power. He didn't know how. And in that moment, he heard, love your wife, but with it came the power to do it. His wife came home from that trip, and he said, right away he said to her, I'm going to love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He knew that something had changed in him. He knew he had an ability to love in a way that he could not love before. And that's because God's word is living and active. It's like a sword. It probably cut off some of those resentments he couldn't let go of that kept affecting how he treated her. His word, God's word is alive. It probably filled him with a kind of life that he did not have before. That his love came alive in a way they had not before. Now, I never knew them when their relationship had gotten like that. All I ever knew is they were such a loving couple. I think one of the most loving couples I've ever seen. It was actually amazing to me to hear that their relationship had ever been so bad, because when I knew them, their relationship was so good. They were so in love for each other, it just bubbled out of them. That's the power of God's word. That's why we need God's word. That's why we live by God's word. And it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's not just saying we don't live by bread alone, but by all the information God tells us about him. We live by God's word in a way that goes so much beyond information. I mean, imagine if God had spoken that word to him and he acted like it was information. Imagine if God said to him, love your wife, and he says, really? I never knew that before. Now that I know that I'm supposed to love my wife, everything's going to be fine. That would just sound ridiculous, right? The issue wasn't information for him. He needed some life to be breathed into his love. He needed a living, powerful, sharp word, and God gave it to him when he cried out to God and prayed and fasted. I want to encourage you, if you're in a situation where you feel like you don't know how to love like you're supposed to, if you're in a situation where you find yourself failing again and again and again to act like who you want to be, maybe the issue isn't always just try harder. Maybe it's cry out to God for his word, because God has something for you that can enable you to love better, act better, be more who you are called to be. There's a time when I was thinking about this more. That caused me to think about this more. In a church service, I just asked, if we all just take some time to just pray and ask God to speak to us, then maybe afterwards, if God spoke to you, maybe share what you think God said. So we took maybe 10 minutes, just prayed for God's presence to come, and we silenced ourselves, tried to open our heart to God. And during that time, I felt something in me. I felt like my heart just come more alive. I felt this joy rise up in me, this love for God rise up in me, this passion rise up in me. I could just feel something happening in me. But as I was just thinking, like, wow, this is amazing what God's doing to me, it occurred to me that after this is over, I had said that let's share what we think God said to us, and I was like, realize, I don't know how to say what God's saying to me. Like, I don't know how to share the message that God's saying to me, because it doesn't even really feel so much like God's giving me information to share. But I always speak it into me because I can feel what's happening in my heart. Something's coming alive in me, but when it's time to share what God said, I don't know what to say. God spoke into my heart, but it wasn't really information. Now, God does sometimes speak information. I don't want to deny that. That's an important part of what God does. But in this case, it wasn't really information. At least not information that I could just articulate. This is what God said. But God spoke his word and something came alive. It was wonderful. And that caused me to think more along these lines. What God's word really is. What it does. So if we are to be, if we are to truly live by the words of God, be fed by the words of God, how do you feed yourself by the words of God? I think that's a good answer. As we praise God, pour out our love to God, it opens ourselves up to him. As we open our heart up to him, it often helps us receive his words into us. Praise is actually a great way to receive a word from God. God's word does so many things, and I often think that sometimes when we try to live by God's word, feed ourselves by God's word, in some cases we only look for the information. And what that's kind of like is imagine you're invited to someone's house and they give you a 10-course meal. But let's say that you only are able to see one of those 10 courses. Because, see, the information God gives us through his word is one of the courses. God feeds us with his word, and one of the ways God feeds us is give us information. But that's just one of the ways God feeds us. So let's say you go to someone's house. They give you a 10-course meal. But somehow you're like blind to the other 9 courses. You just see one course. So you eat the one course. And then you're still kind of hungry. That is true. The truth is we should always be hungry, but if we only eat one of the 10 courses, we'll be underfed. We should always be hungry for God no matter how much we eat, but we shouldn't stay underfed. And if you're only looking for information from God, you'll be underfed. Undernourished, not as strong as you're meant to be. And then when we think of God's word this way, I think we often reduce a relationship with God to only knowing the information. To have a relationship with God for some people means I have the right doctrine because I know the right information. And that's what relationship means to some people. You know, having the right doctrine because you have the right information, it matters. You should have the right doctrine, you should have the right information, but that is not the extent of what a relationship is. There's so many struggles that people have that we all get in this life because there's so many struggles in this world, but God's word has so much power to help with that. Like I mentioned that testimony of how God spoke into my heart and so much just came alive.
Now, I think about some people who struggle with depression. And I want to say right now, I'm not against medication. If doctors could help someone, I think that's great. But, you know, if God can speak something into your heart and make something come alive, that can help with the depression too. You know, sometimes people with depression, they struggle with feeling nothing, this emptiness. If God speaks a living word into your heart that just makes something powerfully come alive, that's really powerful too. There's a lot of blessings and healing and things in this church that we could receive better if we were seeking not just the information, but everything God's word has for us. I think about times I just felt worry or anxiety. And I think about the time in Mark chapter 4:39 when Jesus calmed the storm with his word. Jesus had been sleeping, and then he wakes up to this storm, and it says, he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He just spoke to the storm, and it calmed. How many of us have times when there's a storm in us, and we could just really use a word that would calm that storm? Yeah. God gives us a lot through his word. One more thing I want to say about God's word is that when you can receive God's word for yourself, sometimes you have God's word for someone else. You know, if in your prayer time or worship time or your heartbeat open to God, you receive his rhema word into you to give you something, to tell you something, to fill you with life, there will likely be times when you'll receive God's rhema word and realize that you have something for someone else. And that's really what prophecy is supposed to be. You see, if you think of God's word as merely as information, then you're going to think of prophecy as just information. And if you think of prophecy as just information, you'll miss out on what prophecy can truly do. Because, you know, God's rhema word can calm the storm in you, but God's rhema word through you when you prophesy could calm the storm in someone else. God's rhema word could fill you with life when you feel empty. God's rhema word spoken through you in prophecy could fill somebody else with life. There was someone at Bethel Church, Kevin Dedman, he had a testimony. I may not remember it perfectly, but I think it was him who talked about a time when he just was just feeling really discouraged as a pastor. He may have even stepped down from ministry. I don't know if he fully stepped down or just fell into the mundane of things. But just wasn't doing well, was really discouraged, didn't seem to be experiencing God like he had hoped to. And it got so bad, he talked about where he started even drinking too much alcohol. He was in a bad place. And one day, just someone spoke to him. Prophetic word just said, I think he said, like, let the rivers flow again. You know, it says in the scripture, those who follow Jesus, out of his innermost being shall come rivers of living water. Someone just gave this word, let the rivers flow again. And now he's so full of life and excitement and passion, loves to preach the gospel, and he's highly anointed. Huge amounts of miracles happen to that person. That's what the Word of God can do, whether it's spoken directly into your heart, directly from God to you in your prayer time, or at times God gives you a word for somebody else. And we will use prophecy like this small shell of what it's meant to be if we only think of God's word as information. So let's just seek his word at all times. Always be open. The more your heart is open to God, the easier it is to receive his word. Because many times he speaks, but we don't notice. So give yourself to him. Give your thoughts to him. Give your mind to him. Seek him. Love his presence. Love his word. Love his heart. Abide in him as we abide. His heart in our heart in his, we're more able to receive. So maybe I will just end there. Thank you. Let's just pray. God, we ask you to give us hearts that hear you, hearts that love you, and we ask that you would speak into our heart right now. Actually, can we do this? Can we just take 1 minute to silence ourselves and ask God to speak? God, I pray that you would speak to us now and fill our hearts and fill this place. We pray in Jesus' name.
When Daniel asked us to be quiet for that minute and just receive from the Lord, I know that he spoke to many people in this room. Anybody like to share what the Lord